This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutan, with me, Kusu Chuang and Joyce Goh. Now, many commentators have described G14 as a battle for Malay hearts and souls, and there's been talk of a Malay tsunami. Our focus today is on the East Coast states of the peninsula. On the line is Bridget Welsh, Associate Professor of Political Science at John Cabot University in Rome. Good morning, Bridget. Thank you so much for joining us. I believe you're in Greek in Pera. Now, you've argued that this battle for the Malay heartland is being played out differently in the states of Kelantan and Terengganu. How so?
Well, I think that, you know, first of all, the campaign is still a traditional campaign, largely between PAS and UMNO. So Harapan has not had the same impact there that it's had in the peninsula, in the rest of the peninsula. So the Mahathir factor is also different. The Mahathir factor is actually pushing and pulling away UMNO people in the case of places like Malacca and Johor. But this is not the case in Terengganu and Kelantan, because Mahathir was deeply demonized, and also there's a lot of underlying resentments towards him. So he is not as much of a factor from a perspective as a personal pull, although his campaigning in these states have raised sets of issues involving the government. But he himself is not as much of a pull of Malay, of UMNO votes. But the most important difference is the playing up of religion in a different way. In the case of places like Perak and places like Selangor, there is this kind of "we have to defend Islam against attacks" mode being perpetuated by PAS and even to a certain degree by UMNO in the campaigning. In the case of Kelantan and Terengganu, it's about choosing Islam. It's about having a sense of religious duty and commitment. And just all across these states, when you speak to ordinary people in the kampungs, when you ask them what is the choice, they say it's choosing. The key issue they think is the most important, that often comes up, is Islam. And we can see that PAS is using its campaign to evoke that message. So there's signs that says choose the ulama, choose Islam, that this is the choice for you. They personalize this in terms of their campaigning. And, of course, this is reminiscent of the 2004 campaign that was practiced in Terengganu, although it is a bit more low-key. It's less hard-hitting in the sense that they want what was explained to me is that they want UMNO people to sort of come over, to feel comfortable to come over. So they're choosing not to attack UMNO directly to the same degree as they were in the past. And of course, that perpetuates the sense that they're working together and they're connected. But it is a choice that the PAS is doing in both Kelantan and Terengganu in terms of their approaches in the campaign.
Bridget, if we could just focus on Kelantan. There's talk that the hold of PAS over Kelantan is very shaky at this point in time. There are those who are saying that it could go either way, Harapan or Barisan Nasional. Though I think the most observers are suggesting that it's Barisan Nasional and UMNO that are going to win strongly in Kelantan. What's your sense of the ground? Is PAS likely to lose? And if it loses, why would it be losing?
I think there are three issues that have contributed to why PAS is much weaker in Kelantan than before. I mean, of the most important, which is the passing of Tokguru or Tuan Nikaziz. He was a very important, pivotal, symbolic leader in the state. And the new leadership under Ahmad Yaqob and Nick Alma have not had the same dynamism of the past, and they haven't been able to instill that sense of confidence in the state leadership. I think the second issue that is very important to understand is that Kelantanese, as many of you know, are highly entrepreneurial. They're very economically oriented. But the conditions in the economy in the state are very weak. And so many Kelantanese leave Kelantan, and as a result, that those that are left behind, there's much higher levels of poverty than others. So the development agenda is actually having even more traction, especially among younger Kelantanese. And the third thing that I think has shifted this election is very important, is that traditionally most Kelantanese many companies, even as much as 30% of the voters in terms of estimates, are actually registered in Kelantan, but they live outside. And even now, as I was driving yesterday, I could see many of the cars with the pass flags, people coming back to vote. And interestingly, some people from Kelantan going to other states to vote with their pass flags. And this returnee voters has been really something that has saved PAS on repeated occasions. They're deep party loyalists who come back. They identify PAS as a Kelantan as a PAS state, and they remain faithful. But according to what conversations I've had with different leaders in PAS himself, is that there has been a re-registration of a lot of these voters. Many of them now are registered in places like Shah Alam and other parts of Selangor. As much as half of the vote from outside actually may not be coming back because they've actually been re-registered elsewhere. So PAS Kelantan doesn't have the same safety net of vote bank votes that it has in the past. And at the same time, many of those that come back will be potentially more attracted to the Harapan message that has actually been resonating in the urban areas. And, of course, it's not a coincidence that Nick Aziz's son, Nick Omar, was actually campaigning in Putrajaya, because this is a lot of where many of those returnee voters would come back and actually impact things in Kelantan. And finally, of course, we see the issues of younger voters more overall. I think this is where the surveys show that PAS is having its weakness in Kelantan. And these voters, first-time voters, make up a large number of the electorate. So we're going to see these things play out in very interesting ways. But I think it's a bit more complicated and difficult to read because of the split factor. So Harapan does have support. I think the most important seat that it has a chance of winning is in Kota Bharu, where Husa Musa is contesting. We see, however, that even in seats like Machang and Kubankirian, they have very seen as respectable candidates, but their party flag and their party identity is weak. They have very low machinery compared to the other different players. But that those differences in margins of split votes will affect the outcome. And many of the races, if you look at the numbers, come down to less than 1,000 votes. So this is something that I think is going to be very important of how many people come home, where they vote, how many people come out, and who can best mobilize their different machinery during the election time. PAS is relying on its advantage of resources, but it's interesting that the resources and the advantages in Kelantan are much less than in Terengganu this time around. But the PAS seems to be putting more of its effort in trying to win Terengganu than maintaining Kelantan.
Bridget, so what are seats to watch in Kelantan?
Well, at the parliamentary level, obviously, I've mentioned a few of those. Kubankirian, which is Tuan Ibrahim, who is the deputy leader in PAS. He's very popular, even though he's from Pahang. But there are also other candidates there that are quite strong. We see Kota Bharu, where you're going to see that this is a very interesting dynamic between UMNO, PAS and Harapan. Tumpat is traditionally been a very strong PAS seat. I think it leans at this point towards PAS, but this is an area of very high economic activity. This is something that BN would like to win. It's changed in the past. I would also look at Bachok, where Nick Abdu has another son of Nick Aziz has been moved to. And again, a lot of this is relying on the father's name. His previous seat was not seen as so strong for him. So I think, if you look at Kelantan, there are the seats in the immediate areas around Kota Bharu are very highly competitive. And then if we move towards the more peripheral areas like Jeli, the BN has a very strong advantage. And even in the south, in Guamusang, I think that this is another seat that have an advantage. I forgot to mention.
Sorry, Bridget, sorry to interrupt you there. In the remaining minute that we have, could you tell us what you make of PAS and its kingmaker strategy on a national level? Do you think they'll be able to pull this one off?
they have to get 10 seats. I think that they are looking at only a few seats on the West Coast as even viable to win. So it's going to depend on how many seats they win in Kelantan and Terengganu. They're looking at if they can win more than 5 seats in Kelantan and then win from other seats elsewhere, then they are definitely going to be a player. But the personal relationship between Hadi and Najib will be very important. And I think that they will more likely be working with UMNO than they will be either on their own or with Harapan.
Thank you so much, Bridget. That was Bridget Welsh, Associate Professor of Political Science at John Cabot University in Rome. We'll be back with more business news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.